we'll move on. So the last few weeks, we talked about Mephibosheth a few weeks ago. We talked about coming to the table of grace, and we've talked about when obedience ain't fun, and we talked about Gideon and obedience, and I've been talking to you about Easter, and I've told you that Easter Sunday we are going to start a series with the title with Come Home as the title, and we'll be focusing on the prodigals coming home. And our prayer and my prayer, and I hope that you are praying this, is that we're leading up to this, and I'm asking you to pray as we lead up to Easter, that you pray that prodigals will come home, that the Holy Spirit will begin to prompt their hearts even now. We want to see prodigals come in. And not only, I was thinking about it this morning, and you know, prodigals, we sometimes look at prodigals as just people. And this morning, I just had this thought, what if prodigals aren't just people? What if it's promises? What if it's things that God has spoke to us that we've either done something or hindered it, or we haven't pursued it, or the promise has just been made and we haven't seen it come to pass? And sometimes I think that could be considered prodigals as well. And I'm just praying and believing that not only will we see people come in, new faces, people that have been here in the past even, but I'm also believing that through this, that promises will be fulfilled. Promises that have been made to us, to the church as a whole, and to individual people, that we'll begin to see those things come to pass. Will you believe that and pray that with me? This morning, we're going to look at a passage of Scripture, though, that lends towards promises and being renewed, and it lends towards renewal and just refreshing. And it's in Genesis chapter 26. In Genesis chapter 26, we're going to start in verse 18, and we'll skip around in a little bit. But Genesis 26, 18, it says, "And Isaac dug again the wells of water that had been dug in the days of Abraham, his father, which the Philistines had stopped up after the death of Abraham, and he gave them the names that his father had given them." You know, water is the source of life. Without water, we'll die. You can survive without food, but you can't survive more than 3 days without water. And when you go longer than 3 days, your body will begin to shut down. Water is crucial to life. And as I was reading and thinking about Isaac redigging the wells of Abraham, I started thinking about Jesus. When he said in John chapter 7, verse 37, he said, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds, "Anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the Scripture declares rivers of living water will flow from his heart." And I was thinking about, you know, we can survive maybe without Jesus, but it's a lot easier with him. It's a lot easier when we're feeding ourselves the Word, the bread of life. It's easier than when Jesus told the widow the lady at the well. He said, "You've had five husbands, and the one you're living with is not him. But if the water that I have, you'll never thirst again." And that water that he provides, that water of salvation, that water of grace, is water that we need, right? My mind went to digging of wells, though. And Isaac wasn't digging new wells. He was redigging wells that were once there. It says he dug again, right? And Isaac dug again the wells of water that had been dug in the days of Abraham, his father. Isaac dug again the wells. His father had dug these wells. They had been crucial to life prior. Now he's redigging those wells because they need it again. The enemy had stopped them up. And I started thinking about the wells that once were deep, that have been filled in by the enemy. And I started thinking about wells that are in this house. Wells that are ancestors, wells that our forefathers, so to speak, wells that the ones that came before us dug, that would need dug out again. Maybe there's some things that the enemy has stopped up in your life, and you need to dig it out again to get it flowing. We need to dig again the wells of faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith shows the reality of what we hope for, and it is the evidence of things we cannot see. Faith is believing in something that we can't explain, that we can't see, but we just believe, right? Hebrews 11:6 says, and it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes from hearing, that is hearing from the good news of Christ. Matthew 21:22 says, you can pray for anything. If you have faith, you will receive it. Faith is the cornerstone of Christianity, right? I've not seen God face to face. I felt his presence. I've not ever seen Jesus, but I believe that he was real. It's the cornerstone of what we believe. Faith is that. But there are times when faith falters. All these scriptures speak of faith and what faith is, but do we truly possess faith? Do we believe that when we pray for people, that things will happen? Do we believe that if we pray for the sick, that they'll be made well? Do you believe that when you pray, that you can receive? Do you believe that God can take care of your needs? Has things happened that has caused your well to be stopped up, that's faltered your faith, that's made your faith weak? If you're on this walk long enough, there will be things that happen that challenge your faith. That make you wonder, is this real? It makes us say, God, why is this happening? Why did that happen? Why did that person not get well when we prayed for them? Why did they have to die? Why did that storm have to happen? Why did these things happen in my life? What caused this to go on? And we start questioning God of why. At the beginning of this year, we talked about the storms, right? We talked about that we go through things. Why? So that it'll strengthen others who go through those things. When we're going through those things, it's not easy. It's not easy. We want to know why did those kids walk away from the Lord? Why did they not stay? And our faith is challenged, but I'm asking you, have you allowed your faith well to be filled up, or have you been keeping it clean? Faith comes by hearing. Are you sharing what God has done in your life? Because, see, it doesn't only build your faith, it builds the faith around you. Are you sharing what's going on in your life, what God is doing? Are you sharing that? I know that what happened to Bakersfield and what happened in Cave City were tragic, but I was watching that storm and it was coming straight towards us. God split it. He split it. And I'm not saying that he sent it to those other people, but I'm saying that I was praying, God, we don't have insurance on the building. Lord, I need you to turn that storm to go a different way or kill it now. We need to dig again the wells of faith. We need to dig again the wells of obedience. The last few weeks we focused on obedience, but I feel like that tones of obedience have been coming through for the last couple years. I sometimes feel like I'm a broken record, because I feel like that no matter where we're going, it somehow circles back to obedience. I don't know why. I'm not doing it on purpose, I promise. Some of you probably feel that way, but I promise I'm not. But it just keeps circling back. 1 Samuel 15:22 says, but Samuel replied, what is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices or your obedience to his voice? Obedience is better than sacrifice. And submission is better than offering. Acts 5:29 says, but Peter and the apostles replied, we must obey God rather than human authority. Romans 6:16 says, don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. John 14:23 and 24 says, Jesus replied, all who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each of them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey me. Obedience is better than sacrifice. If we love him, we will obey his word. This isn't just about the commandments. This is about the Holy Spirit nudges. It's not about just following what it says in the word. It is about that. But it's also about following the push of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit speaks, are we being obedient? When you're standing at the gas pump, and God says, talk to that guy across from you, and you say, nope. Are you being obedient or not? They might think you're crazy. That's okay. Most people already do. Are we following those nudges? This is about being led of the Spirit. This is about when he speaks, acting. Acting like Abraham. When the Lord speaks to him, it says the next day he set out on the way. He didn't know where he was going. He just went. And then later God tells him to go and sacrifice Isaac. The scripture says the next morning he got up and went. He didn't wait around. He didn't think about it. He just did what God told him to do. I think about Samuel. And God speaks to him and says, quit mourning Saul. Go and anoint the king that I have. And Samuel risked his life to go anoint David while Saul was still king. Saul looked to kill Samuel. There were people in Saul's inner circle that were trying to find Samuel. They were trying to figure out who he was going to anoint, who he was talking to. And he risked it all. Be obedient to what God was asking him to do. Sometimes obedience feels lost in the church. Has the well been stopped up? Or did it become stopped up because we didn't want to do what he was asking us to do? Or maybe we did it and we felt the ridicule and so we stopped. We need to dig again the wells of obedience. We need to dig again the wells of righteousness. What is righteousness? It's being in right standing with God, characterized by living justly, honestly, and faithfully according to God's instructions, and is achieved through faith in Jesus Christ, not by human merit. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for our sake he made him be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. 1 John 2:29 says, if you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness have been born of him. That's the ESV, and the NLT says, since we know that Christ is righteous, we also know that all who do what is right are God's children. If we are children of God, as we claim, then righteousness should come naturally. We should want to do what's right. We should want to be in right standing with God. We should want to be honest and just. And not just when it's convenient. We should want to be even when it's not convenient. Even when it doesn't help us. It's like the kid, they asked him what a lie was, and he said, it's an abomination or a present help in time of need. No. No. You should want to be honest even when it hurts you. I remember when I was in Bible college, I did something stupid, real stupid. And I remember the RA, the guy who's over the hall, he came in my room and he said, he was trying to find out who did it, and I said, I did it. And he laughed. He thought I was kidding. And so he left. He didn't believe me. And then like 10 minutes later, he came back and he said, "Why would you tell me that?" I was like, "Well, you ask. So I told you." Not going to lie about it. I did it. I might not voluntarily tell you information if you don't ask the question, but if you ask the question, I'm going to be honest with you. We need to unstop the whale of righteousness. What about the whale? What about other whales that we need to unstop? What about the whale of holiness? What about the whale of praise and worship? John 4:24 says, "For God is spirit, so there those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." Psalms 156 says, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." Amen. Last time I checked, everyone in this room has breath. If you have breath, you should be praising. We've already established the fact that if you have breath in this room, you have a purpose. And one of your purposes is to praise God. Amen. And you know, it doesn't matter what's being sung up here. We should be able to worship God. Amen. I will be real honest with you. I don't like all the songs that Carol sings. I don't like all the songs that Chelsea sings. I don't like all the songs that Heather sings. But that doesn't determine whether or not I'm going to worship. It should not have any. It should have not have any value on whether or not you worship, can worship God or not. Amen. What about the well of prayer? When's the last time you spent time in prayer? Not just at altar time. When's the last time you spent some time in prayer? Well, I don't know what to pray. Well, sometimes you just need to listen. I'll give you some help. You don't know what to pray? Come with us on Tuesday nights or Thursday mornings. We'll help you. Come hang out with us for an hour. If you come on Thursday mornings, you get something special. I won't tell you what it is, but you got to come and find out. You only get it if you come on Thursday mornings. What about the well of fasting? I've said from the very beginning of the year that I felt that this year would be marked by fasting. Have you been fasting? Has fasting become a lifestyle for you? See, fasting is a choice. We have to make a choice to fast. But fasting isn't just a one-time thing. It should be a lifestyle. Some of the most effective people I know in ministry fast multiple times a week. There's a missionary down in Latin America that he would fast 3 days a week, every week. And he saw people raised from the dead. He saw incredible things happen. He was marked by fasting. His ministry was marked by fasting. What are you doing to help get to that point of fasting? What about the well of giving? 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, "You must each decide if you're in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully." I heard it said one time that if every believer gave a true tithe, we could end world hunger. But what I do know, I don't know if that's true, but what I do know is that if we all give what God tells us to give, we'll be able to accomplish more for the kingdom than we've ever been able to accomplish. That's what I know. We need to make sure that we're digging wells. We need to make sure that the enemy hasn't stopped up our wells. If so, we need to dig again to keep the wells flowing. When we're digging wells, digging indicates intentionality, effort, diligence. Digging wells is hard work. It's not easy. It's muddy work. It's hard, but it's necessary work. Some of us have wells that need dug again. Some of us have areas that the wells were never been dug. In Genesis 26:18, it says, he reopened the wells of his father had dug, which the Philistines had filled in after Abraham's death. Isaac also restored the names Abraham had given them. He restored, he redug, he unstopped, he cleaned out all the wells that his father had dug. And when you unstop, redig, and restore wells of the past, that's good. And we need that. And we can do those things. And we can unstop and redig and restore wells of the past, and we can see the past miracles and the past healings and the past revivals and the past glory, and we can focus on those things. But Isaac didn't stay focused on what was redug. He didn't just dig up the old wells. He didn't just restore the wells of the past where they had been dug before. Because verse 19 says, Isaac's servants also dug in the Gera Valley and discovered a well of fresh water. But then the shepherds claimed that the spring was theirs, and this is our waters, they said, and they argued over it with Isaac's herdsmen. So Isaac named the well Esk, which means argument. And so Isaac's men then dug another well, but again, there was a dispute over it. So Isaac named it Sittim, which means hostility. Abandoning that one, Isaac moved on and dug another well, and this time there was no dispute over it. So Isaac named the place Rehoboth, which means open space, for he said, at last the Lord has created enough space for us to prosper in this land. New wells don't always come easy. New wells are important. We need new wells. The old wells are great, and we need those old wells to keep our foundation firm. But we need new wells of water as well. We need new wells to come up in our lives. We need to be digging new wells. Some of the things that we talked about, fasting and prayer, and some of those things are not wells in your life right now, and you need to be digging and making those wells new in your life. But new wells don't come easy. When we start doing things for the Lord that we have never done before, there is going to be conflict. There are going to be issues and problems. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be hard. One time you told me that you're never going to fast again because every time you did, something bad happened. I think that time you had tripped over a gas pump or something. It's not easy. It doesn't come easy. When we're digging new wells, when we're doing new things, when we're doing things that we don't do on a regular basis, and we're digging those wells, it's hard. And there are going to be some hiccups. But if we keep digging, we will find the peace, the open space. When he got these new wells dug, when he got to the new place, and he said, we got plenty of place, plenty of room to prosper. We'll get to that place of peace. We'll get to that place of peace. In Genesis 26:23, it says, from there Isaac moved to Beersheba, where the Lord appeared to him on the night of his arrival. And he said, I am the God of the father Abraham, he said. Do not be afraid, for I am with you and will bless you, and I will multiply your descendants, and they will become a great nation. I will do this because of my promise to Abraham, my servant. He dug the old wells up. He reopened them. He cleaned them out. But when he dug the new wells, and the promises were renewed, the Lord showed up and speaks to him and confirms the promise that he'd made. There have been promises made in this house. There have been promises made to individuals in this house. And when it takes time, we start wondering, was that really for us? Maybe we need to be intentional and re-dig some wells. And then dig some new wells too. The most interesting thing about this story, the most interesting thing to me about this story about Isaac and him digging the wells and redigging the wells and digging new wells is after the Lord spoke, he didn't stop. It says in verse 25, then Isaac built an altar there and worshiped the Lord, and he set up his camp at that place, and his servants dug another well. They had already dug a well and found peace and found room to prosper. But that wasn't enough, Bev. He said, we're going to dig another well. We're going to dig another well. We're going to dig another well because God showed up in this moment. And we don't want to forget it. And so we're going to dig another well. And we're going to build an altar. And we're going to sacrifice to the Lord. And we're going to dig a well. Isaac didn't stop because he heard from the Lord. He built an altar and dug another well. I encourage you to put forth the effort required to ensure that your wells are never stopped up. I encourage you to redig the old wells. Maybe there are things that you used to do, godly things, that for whatever reason you've stopped. And this morning you say, I want to redig that well. I want to redig that well. Maybe there's some things that you're lacking. Maybe there's some things that you want to see God do in your life. Maybe it's time to dig some new wells. Maybe it's time to dig some new wells. I'm going to ask everyone that would to stand to your feet this morning. Lord, we thank you for the wells of our life, God. Lord, I thank you for the wells that set my foundation, God. I thank you for the wells that were dug before I even came. I thank you for the wells that you dug early in my walk with you, that were dug by others actually in my life. Lord, there have been times that we've had to unstop those wells because of things, because of my own actions. And Lord, I thank you for the new wells that you've helped me dig. I thank you for the new wells. And Lord, I pray that in this house that we begin to unstop, that we begin to redig the old wells in this house. Lord, the old wells that were here, the old wells that of prayer and fasting and faith and obedience, God. I pray that you help us. The old wells of worship. The old wells of righteousness. And holiness. But Lord, I pray that you help us to dig new wells. That you help us to dig new wells of fasting and prayer and worship, God. That you help us to dig new wells of faith. That we won't have to wonder or worry or hope. But that we have faith to believe that you'll do what you said you would do. Maybe you're in here this morning and you've never dug a well. Spiritually speaking. Maybe you don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Maybe you're not where you need to be with him. And this morning you say, I need to get right with him. This morning I need to make him my Lord. This morning I need to dig a well. I want to invite you to come. Maybe there's some wells in your life that have become stagnant. Maybe there's some wells in your life that just aren't flowing fresh. And you, this morning, you say, I want to redig those wells. I want to be intentional about redigging those wells in my life. I want to invite you to come. I want to pray with you. I want to believe with you. Maybe there's some areas of your life that you say, I just need a new well. God is doing great things in my life, but I just need something more. I need a new well. I want to invite you to come. I want to pray with you. I want to believe with you. Don't let fear and what other people think hold you back. You won't be the first. You say, I need to redig a well, or I need a new well. I need a fresh well. I want to invite you to come. I want to pray and believe with you. Lord, I just thank you right now. I thank you for the ones that responded, the ones that are still at their seats. Lord, I pray that you just begin to move in this house. Lord, I pray that if there's a person in this room that has need today, Lord, I pray that you prompt them to move, Lord. And you begin to do what only you can do in this house. If you feel led to come and pray around this altar, feel free to do so. If you feel led to come and pray for the ones that are here, feel free to do so.